God's unlimited provision. Grace is God's unlimited provision. We have said that. We've talked about grace. This is lesson number five. Lesson number five. And you can run it up there. You can just run it yourself up there, Joy. You know you one did it. And so God provides. How many believe God provides? And this is how he provided in the field of Boaz. And Ruth chapter 2 is so powerful. And we're going to go through that. If you want to read along on the text there, I will read here. There was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. So Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, please let me go to the field. Now that's one thing I want you to catch. Please let me go to the field. That's her initiation. She has direction. Just as you heard, Quinlan has direction. Naomi and Ruth had some specific direction. Let me go to the field and let me glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor. So she has some idea about where she's going, but she's not sure the connections she'll make when she gets there. Everybody with me? And so she said to her, Naomi said to her, go, my daughter. Daughter-in-law, y'all understand that. Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come. Somebody say, happened to come. Everybody say, happened to come. That's like, and it just so happened. And it just so happened. Can I tell you, church, there's no such thing as a coincidence. No way. Not in the kingdom. How many know God knows what's happening? But for her, I want you to see this, because it just so happened to the part, she landed in the part of the field belonging to Boaz, as was the family of Elimelech. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. That just tells me about who Boaz was, and we'll talk about him in a little bit. But he was quite the gentleman. He's the owner of the field, and he's blessed. And if you, any of you single ladies here looking, how many know God has a Boaz somewhere for you? I mean, it's okay to pray for him to have money. It always helps. But anyway, if you don't, then pray for the other guy, all right? Y'all can be broke together. But behold is a big word. It's like, hey, this is about to happen, something big. The Lord be with you, or grace be to you. Or he's speaking to the servants. He's speaking to his workers in the field. It just tells you that he's giving a good greeting. Can I tell you, it's a good idea. If you're ever going to be a leader, you ought to learn how to love and lead. If you're going to be a leader of anything, he's the owner. He don't have to say anything to anybody. But how many know there's something to be said about good old-fashioned manners and people skill? The Lord be with you, he said. And they answered him, the Lord bless you, chief. We love you. Then Boaz said to his servants who was in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? Talking about Ruth. So the servant who was in charge, maybe foreman of the reapers, answered and said, it is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. That was her husband died. I mean, he had the whole scoop. I mean, oh, you're in a little bitty tiny town. Everybody knows your business. You say, how did he know? Well, I'm just telling you, he gave the scoop right there to Boaz. And so she said, please let me glean. This is Ruth saying to the foreman, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came as continued from morning until evening, though she rested a little while in the house. This is what he's saying to Boaz. The foreman is telling Boaz about Ruth. Are you with me still? Then Boaz said to Ruth, hey, listen to me. Look up here. Mira, hija. Look up here, daughter. Listen, will you not? Do not go to another field to glean, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women and let your eyes be on the field which they reap and go after them only. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you're thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn. So Ruth fell on her face, bowed to the ground, and said to him, why have I found grace or favor, unmerited favor, in your eyes, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner, a refugee, right? From another country. And Boaz answered and said to her, it's been fully reported to me. See there? Right there. On the Jerusalem Post. Everybody knew their business. It's been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth in Moab and have come to a people whom you did not even know before. And the Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. Isn't that beautiful? And then she said, let me find favor in your sight, or grace, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your own. Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, come here and eat the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. So she ate. She sat beside the reapers. He passed the parched grain, baked grain to her. And she ate it and was satisfied and kept some back. Wonder who was that for? Naomi. And when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, the big bundles, and do not stop or reproach her. Also let grain fall from the bundles. Let it fall purposely for her. How many know God has a plan on purpose for you? Leave it that she may glean, and don't rebuke her. Don't stop her. Drop off some blessings on purpose for Ruth. I love it. I love it. Are you ready to learn about it? And so she gleaned in the field until evening and beat out the wheat, what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley, well, 50 pounds of barley. And then she took it up and went into the city. And her mother-in-law saw what had happened and how she had gleaned. And she said, what happened? She brought out and gave to her what she had kept back after she had been satisfied, even that extra dinner, steak and baked potato and all of this vegetation, everything. And her mother-in-law said to her, where have you gleaned today? And where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you. You are favored and blessed and graced indeed. In other words, somebody's looking out for you, young lady. Then Naomi said to her, blessed he be. Well, she said to her mother-in-law, it was a man named Boaz that I work for today. And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead, to me and you, and to his uncle. Y'all understand, right? And Naomi said to her, this man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives. Is a nephew to Elimelech. So Ruth and Moabitess said, he also said to me, you shall stay close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest. Not just today, Grandma, till the end of barley harvest. I mean to say, I'm not just blessed today. I'm blessed all the way to the end of the harvest season. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter. Es bueno, mi hija, that you go out with this young, with his young women, and that the people do not meet you in any other field. So she stayed close by the young women of Boaz to glean until the end of barley harvest and wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law. Mother-in-law, mother-in-law. I mean, no, it's a blessing just to be blessed to be with your mother-in-law. And all the people who love their mother-in-law said amen. It's sure quiet in here. I got blessed to have the most incredible mother-in-law in the whole wide world, Miss Rosie. Wow, wow. Miss her every day. But Ruth and Naomi, you remember the story. Chapter 1 didn't start out very well. But how many know God has your story? This is the story of three widows and one redeemer. Ruth's husband died. Orpah, her husband died. And then Naomi's husband died. They all died. They were in the land of Moab. Moab was a God, Israel, God and Israel-hating land. Enemies of Israel. Are y'all hearing me? Elimelech and Ruth. Naomi started out in Bethlehem, in Judah, in Jerusalem. Y'all understand that? The house of bread. But a famine came to the house of bread, So Elimelech thought he'd make a decision. Can I tell you, sir, man of the house, leader of your home, you better make decisions in the will of God. That's important. Just because things get tight or things get a little panicky or things seem to be having some rough years and season doesn't mean you have to run. But they ran to Moab. And that's where their boys met girls. They met the girls. Moab, Chemosh is the god over there. They're not God-fearing people. They're pagan people in a pagan land that doesn't worship the God of Israel, Yahweh. And some bad things happen. What do you expect? Everybody's lost, but Naomi is so depressed. The girls are pretty upset. But Naomi stuck with her daughter-in-law. I mean, no, family is family no matter what happens. It ought to be. Am I boring you? Okay, so here they are. They're all disgusted, broke, and busted, and disgusted. All of them. And Naomi said, you know what? She comes to her senses and says, Jim, I had it better off in the land of bread than I do have in this God-forsaken place. And I'm heading back. And so the girls say, we want to go with you. And she says to Ruth and Orpah, the whale. Orpah the whale? No, that's not nice. That's not nice. She says to Ruth and Orpah, you don't go with me. You can't. You stay here with your family and your relatives. How many know it's never God's will for you to tell somebody else God's will? I mean, only God can tell people the will of the Lord. It's never meant. We do a lot of preparing. We see God do a lot of calling. We see God do a lot of selecting and choosing and sending, and we don't ever do it. How many know we let God do it? How many know God's the only one that can give direction? And so that's what they did. Orpah kissed Naomi goodbye and went back to her pagan family, went back to the pagan gods of Chemosh. And Ruth said, not me, not me. I'm going to hold on to you. Your God's going to be my God. Your people's going to be my people. Where you live, I'm going to live. Where they bury you, they're going to bury me. I mean, oh, she was already ready to make a commitment. Listen, the only way to get into another deeper step of grace is to find the first step. The first step is to have a surrendered heart to commit to what God wants you to do. And everybody has choices. Orpah made a bad choice, but Ruth made a good one. She followed all the way. When she got into town, it is barley harvest. There's wheat and then there's barley. Wheat is more expensive, right? Barley is a little cheaper for the poor people. But how many know whoever's buying the barley is making the barley owner rich? Right? Barley is barley. And they used it. And it was an awesome tale of God redeeming by his grace Ruth and Naomi as they returned to Bethlehem, broke as a joke. Is everybody with me so far? They're very alone. And the older widow is trying to take care of the younger widow. And she was a foreigner. So Naomi comes and she sees that that she has to get back to the house of bread. And even though they shouldn't have left, can I tell you, famine shouldn't move you. Don't ever let the situation around you dictate the destiny that's inside of you. Don't ever let what's going on. How many know in America we may be going into a little famine? How many know God's still on the throne? You don't have to give up. Where else can you go anyway? Amen? Everybody in the world having issues. But Naomi comes back and tells the girls to go back to their families, and but they didn't. Moab means the people of the father. Moab is the son of an incestual relationship Lot had with his daughter. And so Elimelech and Naomi never should have gone in the first place, but nevertheless, that's not what I'm talking about. Moving toward life and staying away from death. I mean, oh, that's where Ruth was. She chose life and said, why should I die here alone when I can see hope in my mother-in-law's eyes? And even though Naomi was a little bit depressed, even though she's down, at least she's heading in the right direction. Can I tell you, if you're here today and you walked away from God, there's never not a good day to open your eyes and get back to the house where of God where you should have been all along. And Naomi has common sense to go back. Depressed, broken, busted, but she goes back. And she makes this commitment. It's a priority of grace. She chose us to go. She made it a priority. I wonder if anybody here today is sick and tired of living in a low living life. Anybody here tired of just going through the motions, just living in the land of Moab, ready to go to Bethel? It's a choice. It's a priority. You say, how does grace come? Grace comes because you make it a priority to seek God out. And even Ruth didn't know where she's going, but she follows her mother-in-law. I want to tell you, too, somebody's watching you, Mom. Hey, Mom, Dad, Grandma, Grandpa, somebody's watching you. Your children, your grandchildren are watching you, and the decisions you make could very much affect the decisions they make. Come on, saints. Grace God is applied to all people. Somebody shout grace. She goes from Moab to her miracle. She goes at the right time. It's barley harvest. And she finds this field, and she says to Naomi, hey, I think I'm going to go into this field. Now, this is something I want you to catch. It is personal responsibility. It's personal initiation. How many know God can provide for you? How many know He's the God that provides? He can provide for you. And one of the ways He provides is by the hand of man. We're going to see that in a minute with Boaz. But how many know sometimes He provides by your own hand? It's called a job. Think about that in America. How many know we have to do what we can do, and then God comes in and does what He can do? And when you mix personal responsibility with divine sovereignty, how many know you could have a chance to have a miracle? But if you sit around waiting for God just to bring something to you, how many know that the grain and the barley that they left behind, somebody had to pick it up? And in Leviticus 9, it was a law that preserved is kind of like God's welfare system. And the rich had to take the field, and they would leave in the corners of the field, they would leave grain, leftovers, for the poor and the widow to come and gather the grain so they can scrape up something to make ends meet. How many know God is always good? He put that in the law a long time ago. So this is what she's thinking. So she said to Naomi, hey, would you allow me to go into this field right here, personal initiative, and I'm going to see if I can find favor or grace. I'm going to put a feeler in the field. She don't even know where she's at. All the fields were owned different properties. They were all marked off with different markings and markers and landmarks. This could belong to Caleb, and this belonged to Joshua. This belonged to Boaz, and this belonged to somebody else. Are you seeing what I'm saying? And she happened, the Bible says, just so happened to enter the field of Boaz. So here it is. She makes one direction personally. She knows what she wants to do. And then God providentially, Josiah, makes a way. How many know providence is the details of sovereignty? So God is sovereign. How many know God can do whatever He wants? He knows how to guide you. And where He guides, God always provides. So He guided her to this field, and then she ends up in Naomi's nephew by marriage's field. Coincidence, you say? I say no. I say God knows your address, amen? And you got to make a priority to choose to follow God. You got to go with what you know, and then on the way, how many believe God will work it out? Ruth has a new hope. She made a new covenant. She has a new Lord. She has a new life. She's starting afresh and anew. It's a day of beginnings. It's the beginning of barley harvest. She has no idea, Max, what's next. So she arrives, and Ruth said, hey, you go. Verse 3, so powerful. When she went, she gleaned, and she just so happened to come into this field of Boaz, and God's grace led her there. And she was just doing what she knew to do. And now it's harvest time, and God is about to bless her. How many know there's a blessing coming down the road for you? You just going about your business this morning. Listen, this is some of the teaching moment lesson here out of Ruth. You're going about your business, making your plans. The Bible says many are the plans in a man's heart, but the Lord orders his steps. In other words, you do what you know to do. You can only see to the end. I can't see past the doors. They're closed. But if I will be obedient to listen to what the Lord said, get to the doors, the Lord will open the door and I can see to go to the next door. And all you got to do is just one obedient step after the other. Just do what you can do and watch God do what only God can do. It's a powerful story as the grace of God comes into her life. She has desire to go with Naomi. She has direction to go into the field. And then a divine sovereign God meets her at a Kairos moment when she did what she knew to do chronologically, one day at a time. Then God knew what he wanted to do in the big picture. We're going to get to the end of the story, but if you're enjoying it so far, say amen. So God allowed Boaz to be in the field at the right time. He's the owner of the field. Tells you what kind of character. Who is this Boaz? Who is this man? Well, he stayed, by the way, he stayed in Bethlehem, in Judah, in the middle of the famine. So what would have happened if Elimelech, is anybody here listening to me? What would have happened? Boaz stayed and got blessed while Elimelech ran and didn't feel blessed at all. I would say to you, as long as you can, stay where God is. Don't let your circumstance get you out of God's plan for your life. It's important that you follow God's directions. Ruth's initiation compels her to go, and then she does and meets up with Boaz. When personal responsibility and divine sovereignty meet, it makes for gracious provision. The grace of God touched her life, and so he allowed Boaz to be there at the right time. She has the right season. It's in the right place. She meets the right man, and glory, glory, hallelujah. Who's Boaz? He's a type of Christ in the Old Testament. He's what they call the Goel, or the kinsman redeemer. So in the law, whenever your brother's wife or when your brother dies, the widow that's left, you can become the kinsman redeemer. You can take all she has, debt, or what she doesn't have, blessing or debt, and you can help take care of her and for the rest of her life or her relatives. It's called the kinsman redeemer. And Boaz is that redeemer for Ruth. And God is setting her up, the nephew, Naomi's husband. And don't leave the house of blessing just because a bad season is there. Amen? How many know you can find blessing in the will of God even if it doesn't feel like it's turning out the way you thought? Daniel was in the will of God in the lion's den. You know why? Because he had a testimony. Nebuchadnezzar had a title, but how many know Daniel had the testimony? I wish somebody help me preach here. Pharaoh had the title, but Moses had the testimony. You can be in the middle of the desert and be in the will of God. Paul was in the prison in the will of God. Jesus was on the cross in the will of God. And Boaz was in a famine in the will of God. And he turned out blessed. He stuck in there. How many know you got to get some stick-to-itness? Don't quit. Come on, somebody shout, don't quit. How about Joseph? I don't have time to go into Joseph, but Joseph went from the pit to Potiphar's house, falsely accused, lied upon, sent to prison. How many know the pit, the Potiphar's house, the prison, but it took all of that to get him to the palace because at the palace was where he was going to fulfill the dream that God gave him when he was 16. Sometimes it's a long time and God has to do some growing up for you. Don't despise the days that are bad. Take it all in. How many know you got to take it all in? You can't just rejoice when things are good. You got to rejoice when things are bad because God's working it out. Somebody shout, God's working it out. God wants to provide for you. He can use whatever he wants to. And he uses Boaz by the hand of man, his mother. Who is his mother? Oh, I remember. Boaz's mother is Rahab, the harlot in Jericho. How many know God has a way of taking you from Moab to the miracle, from Rahab the harlot to a seed that's going to produce Jesus, the Son of the living God? King David, Ruth, Obed, Jesse, David, Jesus. You don't know. The story's not over yet. Don't give up in the middle of the problem. God's grace is not done. And so a gentle lady helped Joshua and them get out of there on a scarlet thread. And now her son is Boaz. What? A Gentile with a past has just produced a Jew with a future. Help us, Lord. If that's not the grace of Almighty God, I said a Gentile from the past introduces us to a Jew with a promise. You can't give up in the middle of your struggle from Moab to the field of Boaz. And so the law kept her out, but the grace of God brought her in. Amen? And God provided by the hand of man. But I can add to it that sometimes God can provide by your own hand. As Boaz ordered them to allow her to just glean the field, pick up some grain, he told his boys, hey, you leave her be. In fact, who is that woman? He wasn't saying, who is that? He was saying, whose is that? Who is her mama? Who is her daddy? What tribe is she from? There's something about Ruth that catches the eye of Boaz. What is it about Ruth that catches the eye of Boaz? Well, he tells her, because she asked him. He told her, lady, listen to me. I want you to go and glean any way you want. I have just one requirement. I just have one command. Don't leave my field. I just feel like preaching right now, Jim. How many know for every promise, there's always a condition? Hey, Ruth, if you want to be and glean in my field, you have to stay in my field. For God is a jealous God. I wish somebody would help me preach. You can't have the blessing of God in this field hanging around in somebody else's field. You can't say, I'm going to love all the blessings of God here, but I'm going to use all of my money and time and energy over there. Boaz said, hey, you're either with me or you're not with me. You stay in my field, I'll take good care of you. You stay in this field, I will protect you. I will bless you. I will provide for you. I wish somebody was getting this message this morning. If you stay here, I will be with you. But if you wander off, if you just go on over here and flirt with this one and flirt with that one, get away with this and get away with that, there's a whole lot of people expecting the blessings of the kingdom while not obeying the rules of the king. And that ain't going to fly with King Jesus. Amen? It didn't fly with Boaz. So I want you to quit expecting everyone else to provide for you when you're not taking care of your own situation. She had to pick it up. It matters not how many times they left it down if she didn't have the audacity to pick it up. God wants to use you to help you. Well, I'm just praying. Oh, God, I'm praying. Well, hey, here's an ancient Chinese proverb. Pray, 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 then move your feet. I mean, no, God likes a little action here. God wants you to be involved. There's always a precondition for the miracle. And in this case, stay in my field. Don't be wandering off. There's a lot of people who want to be in Jesus. They want Jesus to meet all of their needs, but they don't want to be committed in his place. Don't want to go to church. Don't want to pay tithe. Don't want to get involved. I'm going to show up and I'm going to show out and I'm getting out of here. I mean, no, that's not going to fly. If you want to live a life of blessing and grace, you got to get all in. Somebody shout all in. Don't forget this truth. Boaz was the system, but God was the source. Hey, Boaz was the system of provision. But how many know God is always the source of provision? And if he wants to, he can use a bird. I said, Elijah. Oh, y'all don't want me to. I got to finish Ruth. I can't go to Elijah, but I'm going anyway. I'm going anyway. A famine hit the land, and Elijah, God said, you go to the brook Cherith. I'm going to hide you over here while Ahaz and Jezebel have to deal with 3.5 years of famine and drought. I mean, no, God knows how to bring a drought. But you can opt out of the drought if you're in with Jesus. So he hides old Elijah over here in Cherith. And the Bible says that a bird, actually a raven, took care of the man of God with meat and bread twice a day for 3.5 years. You know what a raven is, right? It's not like any other bird. A raven doesn't bring you food. A raven eats all the food. A raven is a scavenger. A raven is a dirty bird. How many know God can use a dirty bird to help you if he had to? I said, I don't care what old bird God wants to use as long as there's food at the brook for me. You understand? So you got to be humbled. And Ruth was so humble. The Bible says she fell on her face and head to the ground and said, why are you showing such favor, grace, and mercy to me since I'm a foreigner? I don't even belong here. I came here not knowing. How many know Abraham went, he was going without knowing too. Why? Because of the obedience of the call. You understand, the promise is only fulfilled. The miracle only happens not because you speak it, but because God spoke it. God spoke it. He said, I will command the ravens. Ravens have to listen to God. Have you ever been blessed by a dirty bird? Oh, y'all don't want me to preach this morning. God can use and bless and provide by the hand of man. He can use it supernaturally by the hand of a dirty bird or a clean bird. He can use an idiot if he wants to, is what I'm trying to say. And he's used a lot of them in my day. And he can also use your hand. Ruth had to bend down in the morning, pick it up. And Boaz goes on. He said, yeah, but wait, there's more. Like a commercial, Boaz was like, hey, you can go. All you got to do is stay in my field. You can get anything you want over here. Does that sound familiar? Adam and Eve. You can eat any tree in this beautiful garden I gave you. Just don't go over here. And lo and behold, how many know if you'll walk in obedience, the blessing door will open to you. The blessing will open to you. So she had to get involved. Let me just tell you, I don't mind God providing for me, but I wanted to get to some place in my life where God starts using me to provide for somebody else. I mean, it's even more blessed to give than it is to receive. I wish I had some Pentecostal people in the house this morning. The Bible says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over what? Shall men add to your bosom? Shall men? Men. God can use man to provide for you. He can use a bird. He can use whatever he wants to. He's God. Amen? But he's the source. Don't forget that. And you have to be humble as Ruth was. And Boaz spoke up. He said, I saw you. I wish somebody would lift your hand to the Lord and say, Lord, I know you see me. I know you see me. Listen, folks. He is Jehovah Roi, the God that sees you. He saw Ishmael. He saw Hagar. How many know he sees you? And he saw Ruth. And this is a beautiful picture of Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, seeing Ruth. He already knows all about her. She's freaking out because she don't know how he knows all of this. It's on the front page of the news. He said, I heard about what you did for your mother-in-law. I heard what you did as you helped her, as her husband died, and then your husband died, and you stuck with her. I heard how you came with her and made a covenant that where she goes, you go, and where she lives, you live. Her God is going to become. I mean, no, that was the first step of the priority of grace. Before there ever is a provision of grace, you got to make a priority of grace. There's no provision without priority. Priority is, if he speaks, I move. And she moved in the will of God and saw the provision of God. He said, I saw what you did. You know, you read it with me. I saw what you did with your mother-in-law. I see everything you do. How many know that your work and your labor of love is not in vain in the Lord? How many believe God sees everything you do? He sees what you do in secret. especially what you do in secret. I mean, you get arrogant and want everybody to see what you do and what you are and who you are. You want to be on the platform. How many know there's a whole lot of things happen between Sundays that nobody ever sees? The person's not in the limelight. They're not on the platform. But still, they're servants of the Lord, working in the field of the Lord. Amen? And for you to have the audacity to sit around and say, bless me, God, and never lean down. It's a lot in the heat of the sun in the Middle East to bend down and pick up and bend down and pick up. Last week, Melissa had me to put tape on every section of the carpet. Our carpet expanded for some reason. The devil's in the carpet. It expanded. It's supposed to be like it's a defect. And she said, honey, wherever you see a crack or a bump, can I tell you, there's a lot of cracks and bumps in this carpet. And there's a lot of carpet here. And so I went, I took my blue tape, I went and bought me some blue painter's tape, and I thought, this is going to be no big deal. No big deal. I had to get a rhythm going. Boom, boom. Can I tell you, it was a long time. I spent about an hour putting tape. This whole place looked like Smurf Church. It takes effort. It takes initiative. I'm not trying to say God's just going to meet all your needs, even though he is, but he's going to partner with you. There's always a precondition to the miracle. Say, what miracle? Well, I can give you a bunch of them, but I don't have that much time. But the feeding of the 5,000. The Lord took it. Two fish. What did he have? Whatever there's in the little boy's hand. I mean, no, God will use whatever you got. And he broke it and he blessed it and he gave it to them and they distributed it. And until they distributed it, until they got involved, the miracle wasn't done. The miracle wasn't done. So this is the deal. God will get involved with you if you get involved with God. This is how it happens, from Moab to the miracle. I said, from Moab to the miracle. It's not like she just went home with Ruth. Say, Ruth wasn't there. Where was Ruth? Well, some scholars say maybe she was older and the sun was too hot. Some scholars say that maybe she had to take care of some of the things at the house to move in. It was a lot of things to transition and all that. So she said, you're a young lady. You go on and go. I mean, oh, God knows how old you are. He knows how much you can do, and he knows how much you can't do. But if you do what you can do, I said, to the degree of your doing comes the degree of your blessing. He understands your limitations. I said, he understands your limitations. But it's not an excuse to leave it all up to somebody else. How many know God wants you involved in the miracle? It's called a job. Ba-da-da-dum, ba-da-da-da-dum. We're living in a nation that expects everything and gives nothing. They want everything, but not willing to do anything to get it. That's not God's welfare system. No, that's not the way God rolls. God made a provision, but you got to stoop down and pick it up. And then he tells his guys, he said, hey, get her and tell her to come to dinner. Look at the provision. A foreigner from a strange land who used to worship strange gods gets to sit at the table with Boaz and all of his servants. He said, you drink whatever they drink from the same vessel they drink. Eat at the table with me. Here's some roasted grain. Some of us in America say, well, where's the chicken? I want Chick-fil-A. I don't like roasted grain. I don't see her doing that. She was so favored. She went and she went all from morning to the evening, and she picked up 40, because he left plenty of bundles on purpose. What was the next phase? She found her purpose. See, it's one thing to always receive a blessing and a provision. It's another thing to get a purpose and a plan so that you can be involved in blessing somebody else. She keeps part of her dinner back to bring to Naomi. She's always thinking of somebody else. My mother-in-law's hungry too. She takes the 40 pounds of barley and brings it home and dumps it on her mother-in-law. And her mother-in-law says, I don't know where you've been, but you better marry that boy. I don't care if he's ugly as sin. Marry that boy. Boaz was involved in his field, and he gave her such grace. And then he says, hey, all you have to do is stay with me. Never confuse what you've been through with where God has taken you to. She could have sat around like Naomi. When she came back to town, she said, they all remembered her, and they said, hey, Naomi, which means pleasant. And she said, oh, no. Don't call me pleasant. Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara, because the Lord has dealt bitterly with me. How many know your attitude can determine your altitude? And somehow the vision that started out with Naomi, that Ruth got a hold of, went back over there. Now Ruth had turned Naomi around, and that old bitter spirit she had became pleasant again. She sees hope. Boaz is going to help us. I believe this morning our heavenly Boaz is in this house. I believe that. Some of you may feel like strangers in a strange land, but I believe God sees you right where you are. Come on, church. I can't help it. There is always a precondition. He sees you where you are, and he wants you to stay in his field. If you stay in my field, I have commanded my young men not to touch you. Understand how vulnerable she was. She would have went in another field. They would have raped her and took her, and it just would have been a bad day for Ruth. But Boaz had his eye on her and said, as long as you're with me, nobody can touch you. How's that for a gracious, blessed life? As long as God is for you, who could be against you? There's more. Come and get the benefits to staying in the field of Boaz. You go off, the deal is off. I want to challenge you this morning as we come back to the platform. If you run off, the deal is off. This idea that everybody's a Christian today is a lie straight from the pit of hell. Just because you say it, you got to live it. You can't say I'm a Christian and live in another field. You can't live in sin and expect the blessings of God. That's just insanity. Only blessings come when you stay in the obedient field. That's where they come from. If you want to try another field, go ahead and see how that does. Hey, how did Moab work out for them? Not too well. You got to head back to Bethel, back to Bethlehem. And Ruth gleaned all day, and in the evening was invited, and he left handfuls on purpose. I can't handle this. I want to be in a place where God takes the seed and puts it in my hand so that I can plant it and serve and give to somebody else. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. I don't know if you understand that, but in that giving is finding your purpose. You're not here to take all the time. I mean, no, God didn't call us to be takers, 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 but givers, givers, givers. Go givers in a go-getter world. Give, and it shall be given to you. I don't know what you're looking for, and God don't mind blessing you, but sooner or later, you got to grow up beyond that. Amen? When you're blessed, you find your purpose, and now you become the lender and not the borrower. You become the head, not the tail. This idea of victimization all the time. I mean, sooner or later, you got to grow up out of that. God wanted Ruth to see that she had value. And she brought all that back. I want you to get the mental picture this morning. Would you stand with me? I want you to get a mental picture. Because Satan has lied to all of us. Everybody stand if you. Satan has lied, and you have painted a mental picture about how lost you are, how much of a loser you are, about how much you don't have, about how it ain't never going to work out. But Pastor wants you to get a new mental picture, a picture of you standing there blessed, a picture of you seeing that God's ready to meet your need and take you to places you've never been. I want you to picture yourself free, free from addiction, free from depression, free. If you start seeing that picture, you start believing it, just like you did when you believed the lie of depression in the first place. So first you think it, and then you believe it in your heart. That's why when you get saved, he said, you have to believe it in your heart and speak it with your mouth. The enemy starts right here in your head. God wants you to be a blessing. Start believing. Change is coming, and change will happen in your future. Just because you didn't have great parents don't mean you can't be a great parent. Come on now. My dad was a borderline alcoholic. Doesn't mean I have to go around drinking. I know God brought me out. Hey, God brought me out of something so he can bring me into something better. From Moab to your miracle, what are you involved in that you believe? Hook, line, and sinker. Has it led to depression or has it led to freedom? Are you cursed or are you blessed? Where God wants you to be is where you need to be. Handfuls of purpose about to be given out. So all you got to do, one prerequisite, obey his command. Stay in his field. Stay in his field. Some of you have been wandering off like sheep, wandering off from the corral, leaving the Father's house of blessing like a prodigal son or daughter. And God's saying, it's time for you to come home. And Ruth gleaned to the end of harvest. And rest of the story, she married Boaz, and they had Obed, and Obed had Jesse, and Jesse had David, and David led us to the new King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus our Master. What an incredible story. I went over 5 minutes, but I blame it on Gary and Joni, and I blame it on Matthew. They took 5 minutes, so I need five more. Who will give it to me? Let me see your hand. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40. All we have left is the altar. I don't know if you're here today and you feel blessed or cursed or lost or what. I don't know. But our prayer partners are going to come and we want to pray with you. And I want you to see yourself and Heavenly Boaz stepping into a new day, a new hope, a new field. And all that he has is available for you if you're willing to make one commitment. Lord, if you will bless, I will rest.